Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you're a facilities manager at a university, you know students rely on the cafeteria for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and the occasional late-night snack. So when a dishwasher breaks down and dirty plates pile up, the mess hall can turn messy in the blink of an eye. Enter Grainger. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast delivery, the product you need now is never far away. So you can turn that dishwasher back into a lean, clean washing machine. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it, throws to first. It's over! 27 years of waiting have built on in. The Giants have won the pennant.
Hey, Brad, we got one.
Yeah.
It wasn't Juan Soto necessarily, but one of the biggies of the free agent season so far. Yeah, Giants got one. Willy Adames.
I like this. I feel like a real team again, like real ownership going out and getting guys. You know, this is exciting. This is are we done, though? That's what we're going to talk about today. Is that it?
Yeah, hope not.
Are we satisfied? Do we rest on our laurels?
So. Yeah, I mean, it's a great question, and we're going to talk about it. But the thing about that move is they got it done before the Juan Soto craziness.
Yeah.
And so it sort of seemed like for Adames, it may have made some sense to wait because all the teams who were so in on Soto would have then pivoted towards him, and maybe there would have been more leverage that against all these other teams, and he would have been – one of the dandies. And so I'm kind of wondering, I hope this gets asked, which is, how did the Giants get it done before Soto? Because from an agent perspective, you'd think like, oh yeah, let's just wait. Like, all, you know, you're going to get all these desperate teams who are just going to want to do something for their fans. But Buster got it done. Buster and Zach Manazin, they got it done before the Soto craziness, which is, I think it's kind of something in their favor there with how they did the negotiations.
Yeah, I think that's a huge deal because the winter meetings start today. You had the GM meetings a little while back. Now you have the or was it the owner meetings? I can never remember. That's a little bit of the same. And then you have the winter meetings that started today, Monday, the day that we're recording this. And so the buzz, I mean, Roki Sasaki, it gets officially posted today. So all the things are going to start kind of happening because you get the managers are there, the general managers, the head of baseball ops, some owners are there too. So you get a lot going on at the winter meetings. So to get it done was key. Maybe it took that extra year. You and I talked about this over the weekend. Maybe it was that extra year that it took to get it done. So it's exciting though to not have to deal with, okay, Juan Soto signs. Everybody, like you said, everybody's going to start pivoting. When you look at most boards, the second offensive player on that board is Willy Adames.
Yeah.
I mean, not even close to the type of player that Juan Soto is. But the team that had Juan Soto didn't win the World Series last year. So you got to remember that. I mean, it still takes a team to win a World Series. So if you could piece it together and you start with a Willy Adames, and you start with kind of the young core that the Giants have, up and comers like Elliot Ramos, and then a pitching staff that you still want to add to. It's such a great start. For me personally, it's absolutely refreshing. I have always been one of those guys, especially with the Giants. I mean, you go out and make a trade for Ellis Burks at the trade deadline. Good. You're adding a bat. You're doing something. Yeah. You're going for it. The last 5 years, I tried really hard to kind of get on board with what was going on. I tried to buy into it. I felt like the players and the manager and everybody else were buying into it. So I kind of felt like, okay, I'm also going to buy into it, because, you know, bottom line is you want to enjoy your baseball team. You want to watch your team play during the summer and you want to enjoy that team. So you're going to buy into it a little bit, whether you're, I mean, if you're not buying into it at all, you're not enjoying baseball. And, right. And I didn't want to do that. So to have that pivot, that full pivot, and say, look, man, we're going out, we're spending money, and we're getting a shortstop, because shortstops are hard to come by. I mean, back when you had the whole Correa debacle, we missed out also on Dansby's Swanson. We also missed out on Trey Turner that year. That was the three big shortstops, and we were going to go get a shortstop,
yep,
and maybe move Brandon Crawford to third base and do all this, and we didn't get any of them,
and not even tell him. They were just going to move him. Just say, yeah, dude,
that's right. Yeah, that's not going to happen with Buster Posey. Buster Posey is going to talk to the players. He's going to, you know, because he's been in the clubhouse, so he's going to talk to the players, and you know, if a move like that has to be made, like, I'm sure there were conversations with Willy Adames. Look, hey, I know your defensive metrics are starting to go down a little bit.
Maybe they have that conversation after they ink him. They don't want to be negative until they're like, we can talk about your defense. Yeah,
but I'm sure they probably said, like, hey, when you get into like year, you know, 5, 6, 7, there's a chance you're going to be a full-time DH.
Yeah.
You know, we're gonna get you up to speed on playing first base or something like that. So yeah, I'm sure those things were known to the player and they were talked about with the player, because Buster Posey, he knows if when he wanted to go sign a contract too, there was all the talk at the time too of, is Buster Posey gonna move full time to first base? And I think he knew when he inked that long term deal, no, I'm going to be a catcher. Those conversations were had. He knew how it was. He knew signing that deal that he was going to be the catcher for the San Francisco Giants. And if he was going to move to first base, that was going to be on his terms. And he, you know, it was going to be more of a move that he talked about and maybe brought up for the better of the team. So again, to have this and the full communication and going out and getting a player, that, I mean, that's key. That's huge for this ball club.
Yeah, I agree. By the way, Rod and I are going to record We Want Winners tonight. We were at the 49ers game yesterday, but Rod was a little under the weather, so he wanted to rest up, and so we'll do it tonight. So for those on YouTube, we'll record tonight, but the podcast, if you're listening to the audio, it'll be up probably around a similar time, but I just wanted to mention that before we continue going on. So everything that we're reading about Willy Adames, everything that's coming out of Milwaukee is perfect guy. He's the guy that wants the ball to make the big play in the ninth. He's the one who wants to be up at the plate in the ninth. He's the guy you want in the clubhouse. Very positive, like, strong leader. So all of these things that I did not know about him necessarily, all great to hear. And it kind of makes sense as to why he was on Buster's radar, because that is, yeah, that's Buster. I mean, you know, I don't know if we necessarily heard Buster's like this great guy. Buster was like, he expected a lot out of his teammates. And because he also delivered, you know, that word went, meant a lot. And so you get a leader as well. He plays shortstop. Shortstop is the leader of the infield. And who knows where he hits in the order. I would prefer him to hit, you know, maybe 5. And then if you have Chapman, 6, but that means you got to find a 3 and a 4, which we don't currently have right now, unless Ramos is one of those guys. But, you know, he may have to hit 4-hole this year just to kind of get to whomever that they get in the future. But it seems like he takes on the responsibility of what is necessary, which is great to hear, because again, I hadn't heard these things about him before, but it sounds like not only did they get the most productive shortstop on the market, but also possibly somebody who's going to be a really good person in the locker room and just in the clubhouse.
Yeah, absolutely. And Buster, from all accounts and everything we've seen in interviews and, you know, Bochy talking about, Buster Posey wasn't necessarily the most vocal guy in the clubhouse, but he was a lead by example guy. He went out there, grinded, worked with the pitching staff, took charge. And I think that's going to be huge to, you know, to have Buster head of baseball ops, because he's going to go out and get guys like that too. And Willy Adames does have a little bit of speed, stole what, 21 bags mm-hmm. last year. I mean, 21 bags. Translate that to the old rules, and maybe that's like, you know, 9, 8, 9, something like that. But still, somebody who's willing to run. Is he going to run now that he has a big contract? Do we want him to steal a bunch of bags? Not necessarily. We want him to hit home runs and hopefully get on base. I know he has a lower batting average than, you know, most people are excited about, but that's quite all right, because if he can hit home runs and drive in runs, he drove in over 100 runs last year with the Milwaukee Brewers. But yeah, to have another clubhouse guy, and you know, Matt Chapman's pretty much the leader of this clubhouse, along with Logan Webb at this point. Those are two veterans. And, you know, Adames is not a young guy, but he did play in Tampa Bay, did play in Milwaukee. So coming to San Francisco, he doesn't need to be the guy. He just needs to get in with those guys and be one of those guys. And I think it's going to happen very quickly. And Giants fans are going to be super excited. Should I have bought some tickets to some games? Or, I mean, yeah. As soon as I saw that contract come across, I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah. Right. Then we may be taking the brunt of that going next year, sure, to the games. Okay. So the deal is structured as 7 years, $182 million. So that will take him into what, his mid to late 30s, because he is, yeah. Is he 29?
Yeah, so he'll be 36-ish, 37 at that time, which for me personally, I like that, because you're not getting into, for Aaron Judge, it would have been 40s, right? Or early 40s. Juan Soto.
Correa, man.
Yeah, Juan Soto, it's going to be 40. Correa, yeah. It would have been like 42.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper would have been 40, 41. So that's why I like this deal. And everybody said, oh, it's a rich deal, it's a lot of money. But hey, you're going to be off the books in 7 years with him. So that's kind of a nice part of the deal.
So they have invested Matt Chapman, 6 for $150, and Adames, 7 for $182. So the whole left side of the infield, unless those guys get traded, they're going to be locked in at least through the early 2030s. Right. And then the interesting thing is that seventh year, because, you know, like we said, six was kind of, yeah, I'd even seen five, and then I'd seen six as predictions. So that seventh year wasn't really something that we had seen, but it may have been the reason that he did sign early. Maybe that was part of the deal. Like, hey, I will sign before Juan Soto, but I need that seventh year. And yeah, maybe that was worth it, because they didn't want to risk losing him based on whomever lost in the Soto deal. So very interesting. And Buster Posey, all he said was, ultimately, it's a boring answer, but you just want complete baseball players. You want guys who can do some of everything. That would also push Tyler Fitzgerald to second. I think Buster said today that he thinks Fitzgerald could be a really solid second baseman. So I think they figured out some things just with this one player. It was really the thing that we were thinking about. Like, they need a shortstop. If they don't get, yeah, one of these two guys, what are they going to do? And so getting the top guy, and we had done the comparison between he and Kim, and I was early on the Kim thing, but then it just, the timetable for Kim's return just seems like it just keeps getting pushed back. So you may not even have him until like All-Star break time frame. But Adames is the better player. He was just always going to be the more expensive player and the one, right, that you would probably have to invest more years in. And that's where they went.
Yeah. I wonder if Haesung Kim now is kind of locked into going back to San Diego. I mean, there's other places he could go. The Dodgers could sign him as kind of a you know, an insurance policy later on in the season. To have a guy like that, you know, is kind of valuable. I was wondering, could the Giants do something like that? sign him to a 1-year deal, a 2-year deal, let him get his feet back under him for half a season and then a whole season next year. And then you've got Tyler Fitzgerald, who you can play in the outfield. But yeah, we'll get into it more later, but Bob Melvin was at the winter meetings today, and he did mention that Tyler Fitzgerald, now knowing that he will be at second base and not have to, you know, work at various positions. He did mention you saw what happened last year when they basically said, Tyler Fitzgerald, you are an infielder now. You're going to play shortstop, second base. He didn't have to work half the time pregame in the outfield, half the time on the infield. He could mm-hmm. concentrate on one position, actually one area, and that was the infield. Now he can concentrate on one position, and that's second base, and get better at second base. We saw what Tyro could do defensively once he really concentrated on second base and knew he had the starting job. Working with Giants coaches, he became a Gold Glove caliber second baseman. And he was, you know, in the metrics for Gold Glove before he got hurt last year. And so if Tyler Fitzgerald could really concentrate on one position, I think that's a great thing for him going forward. I'm excited. I mean, it's, you know, that the infield is rounding out. You've got three of the four positions really locked in. You got Lamont Wade Jr. at first base. That's something we'll talk about later too, because when we get into the whole Bob Melvin interview, he did say something really, really interesting in there about first base that I wanted to talk about later. So
that is what we call a tease.
That's a tease. Stick around.
the last thing I'll say about this is that this is in Baggerly's piece, by the way, that he wrote after the deal. Buster was quoted as saying, I know we'll be very diligent in our decision making, but something I've tried to inject with the group is for us not to be hamstrung from that potential fear of failure. It's knowing that, hey, sometimes we're going to have to risk media members saying this was a bad decision or a bad move. But if we feel convicted in it, then you have to be okay with it. And I mean, basically, that is kind of like all of the decisions that Buster has made so far. Decisions where we're like, not that we are the media, we are, you know, we are fan critics, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we're like, huh, that's interesting. Like, why is he doing that? It almost feels like it's just anti-Farhan. And maybe in some cases it is anti-Farhan. Maybe in some cases, you know, Farhan, I don't know if this is how you would describe him as making decisions, but maybe there was some worry about fear of failure. Maybe that's why you overly analyze so many things, is so that you don't make mistakes necessarily then with the risk. Maybe that's part of it. I'm sure that's part of analytics in general. It's just the risks. You want to make sure the risks are worth it. So I like that statement by Buster. I'm still a little worried by the overcorrections in some of those things, but hey, you cannot discredit him in any way from getting what he saw as the most important position to fill in the lineup, and they went and got him. Buster's one for one, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, Buster's not taking this job to not make waves, to not make changes. I mean, if they thought everything was going great and they wanted to stick with what they were doing, why not stick with Farhan? He was pinching pennies and getting a 500 club. I mean, but you know, changes had to be made, and here we are, and a lot of things are happening. And again, he didn't take the job either. If him being part of ownership, if ownership looked and said, look, you can take the job, but we really have to cut back on financing and we can't make big moves or anything. He's not taking that job. He's not going to step into that job and do that. He's got that. They have money to spend. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we'll talk about it in a little bit, but I wouldn't be shocked if all of that wording of, you know, we're going to, you know, cut payroll a little bit from last year and get under. I mean, you make a signing like Willy Adames and things could change, because you've got to kind of keep going forward at this point. It's hard to make a splash move like that and then say, now let's wait for the class next year, because you never know what's going to happen. Somebody could, you know, a pitcher could be a free agent next year could re-up with the club that he's with. And then now you're stuck, and your plan B for for the offseason between 2025 and 26 has completely changed. So if you've got momentum and you can spend money and you think you could put a winning club on the field that can grab a wild card spot, you need 8 more wins than you had last year, because they had 80. And 88, 89 is kind of that magic number. So if you can get 8 more wins out of Adames and then possibly a starting pitcher and a reliever or first baseman and anything, I think you kind of go for it at this
point. Yeah. How I read it was, even if they sign a pitcher, which we're going to talk about in a second, they could still make moves to stay under that luxury tax, but it would be stuff like Yaz or Lamont Wade or guys like that who are arbitration folks, but you know, their contracts are a little heavier than some of these guys, and you would have to probably replace those guys with young players.
Trading Duvall also. That's another.
Though Buster did kind of double down on Duvall. We'll know how much of that was strategy or not, but he did kind of give a little punch in the arm to Duvall saying that he's going to be a part of the team. So let's talk about the possibility of adding another starter. And we're talking frontline starter. We're not talking, you know, back end five, number five guy. I think they feel like they have those guys already. You know, they have.
Oh, yeah.
Who did Buster talk about today? Hicks. He talked about Hicks. He said Hicks is going to stay in the rotation. Hicks would be kind of in that 4-5 slot. Kyle Harrison, kind of in that 4-5 slot already. So it seems like the intention might be, who do we slide in between Logan Webb and Robbie Ray? Who could be that number two guy? A lot of people are talking about Burns as that guy. And there's also some Max Fried talk as well. Could Buster go 2-for-2 in filling the two big holes on this team with the best people out there still left in free agency? That will be very interesting to see.
Some buzz that I've heard, and again, it's not official stuff, but a name that's been thrown out there for the Giants, and I don't think this player slots in between Webb and Ray, but I've heard Manea's name kicked around coming back to the Giants. That's more of a 3-4 guy.
Yeah, yes, you'd probably have Robbie Ray be the number two and slide him in as the number three.
Yeah, he'd be the number three, or Kyle Harrison would be the three and Manea would be the four. I mean, you could interchange those guys. But that's a tough one too.
He'd be much cheaper and he'd be not as many years for sure if they went that route.
Two places today I've also seen the name Jock Peterson as a left-handed DH back. Now, and I started laughing too. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, well, Gabe Kapler's gone. Farhan's gone. It's Buster Posey and it's Bob Melvin. So you're talking about a whole different situation. A lot of the same clubhouse, though.
Yeah.
If he did truly get along with those guys,
yeah.
I mean, that's a possibility. I heard 1 year, $15 million for a left-handed Jock Peterson DH. But then the other thing too is if you get a first baseman like we've talked about, a Paul Goldschmidt for 1 year, a Christian Walker on a 2-year deal or 1-year opt-out. Then you've got Lamont Wade Jr. as a left-handed DH. Because if you can keep Lamont Wade Jr. off his feet, we know the bulky knee issue, the leg issue. So if you can minimize him on his feet by putting him at DH, I think you're going to get more out of Lamont Wade Jr. You also have Wilmer Flores. Don't forget about Wilmer. Wilmer Flores is on the roster.
Can't forget about Wilmer.
Can't forget about Wilmer. So you've got another right-handed bat right there that you've got to deal with. What do you do with him? So, going back to pitching, if we land Burns, if we land Fried, I think you absolutely say 2-for-2. I was thinking about it earlier. I go, you know, would I feel like if we got Max Fried, would I feel like, oh man, we missed out on Corbin Burns? But no, I would be. I mean, you look at Max Fried, you look at Logan Webb, you look at Robbie Ray, who's coming off, you know, he got his feet back under him last season after the Tommy John surgery. And then you got a Hicks, a Harrison, a Wizenhunt. You got these guys that you can kind of plug and play. I think that's a
Birdsong.
Birdsong,
you big innings late season for them.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, you got a lot of pitchers that you could play with. If you got a Freed, but if you got a Burns, I kind of feel like that's not by much, but I kind of feel like that's next level.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Well, if you get a Burns or a Freed, I think what you're doing is you're creating anticipation and expectation, because even by adding Willy Adames, you look at the Diamondbacks and the Padres and you go, okay, we're getting closer, but we're probably still below those teams. You add a Burns or a Freed, you're close. You're right there. Now, the Padres, we'll see, because I think the Padres are just so talented. Like, yeah. The Padres can compete with the Dodgers with some of the players that they have, especially Tatis. Like, what an insane baseball
player. But Manny Machado's getting older.
He's getting older. You know, then they got that their center fielder who made the All-Star team.
Yeah.
I forget his name. You know why? You know why? Merrill. You know why I forgot his name is because I stopped playing the show in August.
Jackson Merrill, that's who you're thinking of. But
yes,
Jerickson Profar, who was a big part of that team, he's a free agent right now as well. Yes. So, but they do have the pitching. I mean, they got Michael King. Yeah, they got Yu Darvish. They do have a really good pitching staff.
What it does is it makes the National League West very competitive because
You
got to have to put pressure on the Dodgers. Like, you don't just concede. Dodgers are the most talented team maybe that I've ever seen. We talked about this last year. From a talent perspective, especially in that lineup, you're like, I don't know if I've seen this before. And you don't just concede. You compete and you battle and you hope that you can get one of those wild card slots. And in the short series, You always got a chance, maybe not in seven-gamer as much, but in a five or a three, you got a chance. So I think that's where you're shooting for. So if there's more moves to be had, I kind of wonder what the timetable is for that. With Soto being done, you would think that there's going to be more. Like, I know the Dodgers re-upped training today. Tyler O'Neill was also signed. So stuff is happening finally. Mm-hmm. So it seems like maybe there will be a lot more movement now that Soto's done. And we'll talk about the Soto thing at the end of the show. But what were some of the things that came out of the Melvin interview?
Yeah, so Bob Melvin did kind of a quick presser, not anything huge, but he did mention, you know, and speaking of Wilmer, he did mention that Wilmer's been healthy. And Wilmer is, you know, touting how healthy he is. And he got, you know, Bob Melvin got to talk to him and everything else. And he said he's very excited for Wilmer. It's nice to have him. He said, you know, he wasn't the guy we had anticipated last year because he was so hurt. But now that he's healthy, we're expecting, you know, big things out of him. Again, is he going to be on the opening day roster? I don't know. The offseason is not, you know, free agency is not even close to being done. So is Wilmer going to be on the roster? We don't know. And then they did talk about how they did want to go out and get another bat, possibly starting pitcher, possibly relief pitcher. Those are things that they're looking at. Again, this is coming from the manager. I'm sure he has, you know, a lot of close contact with Buster. But I almost wonder if he kind of slipped up a little bit, because he did say we could take, you know, we're kind of looking at first base. We could take Lamont Wade Jr. He can be our DH. And then he could play a little first base to rest a first baseman. So I almost wonder if they are kind of targeting first base more than any. I mean, and it's not, it's obvious, because again, who are you going to get who's out there who's going to replace Yaz at this point?
Right.
You'd have to go after, I mean, you're talking Teoscar Hernandez, you're talking Santander, who is not a fast outfielder, and you're not going to stick him in right field at Oracle Park. He's going to be a DH. So I think he did kind of, you know, play his cards a little bit by mentioning first base. He also did mention that Robbie Ray, you know, they expected some big things out of him in the second half. And then he kind of backtracked on that and said, you know, maybe we shouldn't have, because he's coming off Tommy John surgery, but they're excited about him in a full season now that he's also had a full off season post surgery. And Jordan Hicks, who you mentioned earlier, and Buster mentioned too, that, Jordan Hicks knows what to do and knows what it takes to be a starter as he kind of battled there towards the end of the season. We saw the whole second half. I mean, he ended up in the bullpen, but now he knows what an off season will take to be a starting pitcher in the majors. So to have him kind of preparing for that as well is kind of big for the team. But yeah, he did mention that. Yeah, we're looking starting pitcher, relief pitcher, and another bat.
Some of the things that you said there that I thought were pretty interesting. Yastrzemski, he's always going to be the guy until he's not here anymore. Where we're like, man, when we need a big hit, who's always up for some reason? It's Yastrzemski. Like, he's just always going to be that guy. But
yeah,
you talk about right field, and if you are putting together this baseball team and you're spending money and you're bringing in, you know, someone to play first base, hopefully just for a year or two while Eldridge comes up, and you know, you got Jung-Hoo Lee, you got Ramos, theoretically that's his job until it's not his job. And you have this left side of the infield, and then you got Tyler Fisher. So you're kind of putting people into places that make a lot of sense. And you may just lean on Yastrzemski. Like, you're like, yeah, Yaz is just going to bat ninth, and he's just going to play an awesome right field. But it did make me wonder, could you employ Grant McCray in that reserve role, though he still is a very young player? And I would hate to say, like, this young player is not going to get any reps and he's just going to be in the reserve role, but because he's got speed. Because when you were talking about Wilmer, I was like, man, if we could just, you know, Manfred's talking about the golden AB, what about the golden pinch runner, man? Can we just have, like, if you employ somebody whose speed is so bad, like every time he gets on base, you can just automatically pinch run it when in DH hitting seventh, it is Wilmer Flores Grant McCray. Every time Flores gets on base, it's like just McCray pinch runs.
He's his designated legs.
Yes, exactly. That would be awesome. So that's, you know, that as we're thinking about this, and you can kind of see a little bit of the strategy, it does start to make a little bit more sense. And then you always have Matos, who's seemingly going to be on this team up and down for the rest of our lives. And then, of course, Luciano, who they are talking about putting in the outfield. Now, I don't know if the young shortstop all of a sudden gets thrown in right field, highly unlikely, but you know, there's something there too. So they have some interesting pieces, but Yaz is just that old stable guy. Just throw him out there. You know what you got. You don't really have to worry about him except when it's the bottom of the ninth and a runner on first and you're down two and then he strikes out. That's the thing that you got to worry about, but you know what you get in that sense. So it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, for sure. And there's so much shaping to do to this roster in the next few months. Spring training could be very interesting. But if the Giants make a couple more moves, it could be only interesting on the pitching side. We could pretty much know who our, you know, 12, 13 hitters are going to be if a couple more moves are made. But then, you know, barring injuries, but then it's going to be interesting in the back end, the bullpen. Is Camilo Duvall still here? Did the Giants sign Tanner Scott? Did the Giants, you know, trade for a relief pitcher who maybe has 1 year, 2 years left on a deal to kind of shore up the back end of the bullpen? So there could be a lot of questions there. And again, starting pitching too, who's healthy, who can you ride for 180 to 200 innings. We know that's Logan Webb, but it's who else is it going to be? Can it be Robbie Ray? Again, coming off of Tommy John, probably not. So you're going to have a lot more pieces. So there's a lot more to do.
Yes. All right. So let's end this show by talking a little bit about Juan Soto. Now, you and I and everybody and their mother had targeted Juan Soto as when he is a free agent, we want to be in on the Juan Soto business. And even as far as, you know, middle of the season last year, we kind of thought like, you know, the Giants would still be in the mix. They've been in the mix for all of these folks. But then by the end of the season, I think it was pretty clear that the Giants were not really going to be one of the suitors. They were going to be one of the 10 teams discussed, but they weren't going to be one of the 5 teams discussed. And we had to kind of sit with that and go, man, this is the guy we've been looking for, you know, for the last 3 years. Once we started doing this podcast, he was like number one on our list, even more than Otani. But it wasn't going to happen. And it became a tug of war, seemingly with the Mets and the Yankees. And then you had mentioned the Blue Jays, too, that the Blue Jays were kind of in on that on that business. So he signs with the Mets, and I'm going to batten down the hatches here, folks. 15 years, $765 million. Now, he does have a 5-year out. He also has a $75 million signing bonus. And what's interesting that I found today in the 5-year out, his average, his AAV is $51 million a year. If the Mets bump that up to 55, then the out, it doesn't exist. They kind of clear out the out. So in 5 years, when he's 31 years old and we are older than we are now, we'll see. we'll see what happens there. But
yeah,
big time contract, man, and no deferrals. That's what I like about the contract. No, you know, under the table con man deferrals. So like that.
So if Cone is still there, if Cone is still the guy, Steve Cone, then you're looking at tacking on another $50 million to this deal. And now you're up over 800, right? What was the total?
765.
So now you've punched it over 800 million and so you look at that, you'll go 800, and then you look at Shohei's deal last year with all that deferred money. The money is going to get later that actually deflates over years because of inflation, rise of cost of everything else, value of the dollar. So that ends up being more like a $500 million deal from what I've seen, versus actually being 700. So you're looking at 500, then you're looking at Juan Soto at 800 because he's getting all his money.
Yeah.
When he's due his money, not, you know, 10, 12, 13 years from now. That is a deal I don't think the Giants could have done. I mean, they could. Don't get me wrong. The Giants could do that. They have a beautiful ballpark. They have a history. This is not like it's the Pittsburgh Pirates who just all of a sudden out of nowhere decides to spend money. The Giants have spent money. They've won championships. It's been a while. It's been 10 years. But I look at this and I go, it's exactly what I thought it was going to be. when this whole free agency started, I kept saying, and then so a lot of people, it's not like I figured this out on my own, but he was staying in New York. I didn't care which team it was going to be, but he wasn't going to leave New York. He wasn't going to be a Dodger. Dodgers, I don't know if they would have matched that deal. I don't even know if he would have wanted to go to LA, because now you're another superstar amongst other superstars. In New York, you're a superstar, but it's you and Francisco Lindor and a bunch of other really, really good baseball players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pete Alonso is going to be gone now at this point. I can't imagine he's going to be back with the Mets. But he's still, he gets to leave the Yankees and still be the king of New York. I mean, mm-hmm. you because now you've got Aaron Judge versus Juan Soto,
yeah,
you know, across the way in the city. It's really cool for baseball. I know it's a lot of money, but I think it's really cool for baseball. It's really cool for the East Coast. I'm not an East Coast hater. I love the romanticism of East Coast sports. I think it's exciting. I think it's fun for the sport. You know, when the Giants won, nobody cared but us. You know, it's not like Mets fans were like, damn those Giants. Yeah, just the Dodgers fans hated us and Padres yeah. fans. I mean, I had a buddy in 2000, you know, buddy since I was, you know, like 5 years old, but he's a Padres fan. So 2010, man, we were going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Now I don't have much to say. But it's still, there's a lot of West Coast talk when you're a Giants fan, you're a Dodgers fan, you're a Padres fan. But that East Coast, there's something about Dodgers or about Yankees and Red Sox. There's something about Mets and Phillies. It's a level that, I mean, we reach as Giants Dodgers fans, reach, but there's a level over there that's comparable to that. And it's exciting. So I like to see that, you know, hey, he didn't go to the Dodgers. And I posted that on Blue Sky. I said, you know, not the Dodgers, sincerely Giants fans. And of course, Dodgers fans came in to chime in to say, we didn't want him anyways. That's fine. We didn't want to pay that kind of money. We just won a ring? Blah, blah, blah. Stop it. If he would have gone back to San Diego, it would have been a problem. If he would have gone to the Giants, it would have been a problem. Yes, I know he was just on a team that didn't win the World Series. But when you look at the Mets-Dodgers series, I think Juan Soto could have made a difference in that mm-hmm. series. And so I think that is a fearful subject for Dodgers fans for Juan Soto going to New York.
We talked about just, you know, a couple minutes ago how the Giants are trying to keep pace with this very competitive National League West. The Diamondbacks, it was only 2 years ago they beat the Dodgers in the playoffs. Yeah. The Padres, like 3 years ago, they beat the Dodgers in the playoffs. So we're all kind of keeping up with the Dodgers, but also, like you just said, they won the World Series. So now any National League team who wants to be taken seriously, like the Mets, they're also competing with the Dodgers now. So you're trying to keep pace with that franchise, and you got to do stuff like grab Juan Soto, the Phillies grabbing Bryce Harper, like, and Trey Turner. Like, you're competing for the opportunity to go to the World Series. Who wants to be the I'm trying to think of a team that has no chance, like at least of recent memory, someone like the Pirates. Like, I think the Pirates, if they build a team, that market will just celebrate. They'll be so into that team. You know, similarly, as we saw, you know, every time the Twins get good, like the Minnesota, that market just goes on fire, but they can never get to that last level. When you have the money, you can kind of create the excitement, especially in the off season, which is part of the game too, is you got to get your fans excited. So they buy those season tickets. How many people put, you know, put money into the season ticket plan from the Mets just in the last 24 hours. I imagine a lot of people.
It's got to be insane. They got to be fighting for tickets because they're probably at this point, even though you don't have Pete Alonso, you get Juan Soto. They're going to add a pitcher. They're going to add Corbin Burns, Max Fried. We're going to be battling with the Mets for that. That's a problem. But if they add that, they're going to be expecting 100-plus wins. No problem, especially the expectations after going to the NLCS last year. It's going to be just absolutely nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready for baseball.
I know
the Rams and Niners play Thursday night. We're still both battling for a playoff spot, still trying to stay alive.
I think you have a little bit of a better shot than we do.
I don't know. I mean, yes, my team beat the Bills yesterday. They put 44 on that defense. But then my team is so Jekyll and Hyde. I don't know who's going to show up Thursday night. So I can tell you that much right now. I'm excited for it. I'm excited, but it's in Santa Clara and I don't know. Jekyll and Hyde. That's all I know.
Yeah. I think the Niners might be on their fourth tailback by Thursday.
Yeah. I saw the rotation and I was like, who the hell are these guys? Can I sign up? I can make a paycheck for a week.
Yes. Because we were at the game and they started the rookie, Guerrero, who's really fast, but also can run like right into the defensive tackle of the other team. And then he hurt his foot, I think, on maybe like a successful play. And so they brought in this other guy, like Patrick Taylor Jr. And it's just like, okay, so you go from Christian McCaffrey, who's on the cover of John Madden Football, to Patrick Taylor Jr. as your starting running back. Good a little Lord. Bit of a difference there. So
The Rams, after they won the Super Bowl the next year, the injuries were outrageous. I mean it was like not even there's nothing the Rams could do. They won 5 games that year. It was absolutely brutal. It just, you know, it happens. Injuries take their toll in football. That's why I love baseball. And that's why that's my number one sport. You get 162 games. You get a guy hurt for a week or two. You can come back. You still got 90 games left or whatever it is.
And if somebody does get hurt, you have these like romantic stories like Brian Wilson threw out his elbow for the 2010 World Series and he was never the same.
Yeah. Rob Nen in 2003 or 2002, his arm was hanging at the end of it. And
Brian Wilson, 2014, he's trying to throw a knuckleball so he can come back and play in the big leagues. Like,
I still love that. Yeah. I still love that about 2010, 12, and 14. We had 3 different closers.
Mm-hmm.
That's just 3 different pitchers closed out those World Series. That will always be one of my favorite stories of that 3 out of 5. So,
yeah. All right, cool. We will be back. We'll see if we're going to be back next week or the week after. We're going to try and keep this at least every 2 weeks schedule throughout the offseason because, like you said, now we're all jacked up for spring training, but we still got like 3.5 months for that.
Yeah, I got to pace myself. Pace myself.
So Rod and I will be back later tonight to talk about the 49ers. I'm not sure what we're doing with the death lineup because the Warriors play a Wednesday Emirates Cup game, but then Rod and I are going to be back Thursday night with the 49ers and Rams recap, which means that we can't do the death lineup. So we'll see, because Brian is fired up about the women's WNBA team, the Valkyries, because they had their expansion draft. So I know he wants to talk about that. So we'll have to figure out what the right time to do the death lineup is. If not this week, then for sure next week. All right. For Brad, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit 2, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.